Right, so just a quick heads up, is anybody in industrial cybersec to begin with, or all? Okay, you might find it a little bit basic. It is just a sort of rudimentary introduction to it, just some of the differences between traditional IT security and then OT security. So a little bit about me. Done my degree at Cardiff University in computer science, currently doing a postgrad. I previously worked at Airbus doing malware analysis research, and I'm currently a software developer at Owen Collective. So, what do I mean by industrial cyber? We get this lovely, great, really long definition from some, I can't remember where I got this from specifically, that tries to sort of summarize it all for you. But what it traditionally means is it refers to technologies that interface with the real world more than traditional IT systems. IT systems usually handle data. OT systems and industrial cyber usually refer to things that handle sensors, motors, anything that interacts in that regards. So to discuss it, it says overall security of an industrial automation and control system. So things such as PLCs, programmable logic controllers, supervisory control and data acquisition, or SCADA, and distributed control systems. So everything that's pulling in data from sensors, if we take an example like a factory, for example, or a power plant, anything that's monitoring the sensors for a machining tool, anything that's monitoring sort of power consumption, stuff like that, as well as the human machine interfaces or HMIs and the device, and sort of all of that scope is what's considered industrial cyber. So some of the major domains, public utilities, so your water, your energy, gas, chemical productions, pharmaceuticals, your food and beverage has recently sort of come under this scope where it was previously out from it. Aerospace and defense, obviously, you've got these very large sort of naval vessels, your military planes, commercial planes. They often have a lot of this embedded technologies. They have all come under this scope as well. Transport and logistics. And finally, manufacturing, automotive, and smart cities is sort of the newest one to join this group of technologies. So, why would you bother targeting these over a traditional system? You could go after a big fintech company, for example. You might want to go after a big bank or something. Well, there's always three things when it comes to performing a cyber attack. It's either money, politics, or bragging rights, or more commonly, a mixture of the three. When these attacks talk about money, it is not just how much they can get in a ransom. For example, if they've dropped WannaCry across their entire system and taking down everything, they can go get a ransom for that. When it comes to these sort of systems, you're now talking about the financial cost of getting them back online. For example, what was it? Morgan Advanced Materials, big ceramics and metal production facility based in the UK just lost a significant portion of their 85 sites to a cyber attack. They're now talking, it's been less than a week, they're already looking at £12 million worth of damages. And that's before they even get things back up online. This is purely from sales or loss of sales. You had last year KP, the snack manufacturer. They lost, I think it was somewhere in the region of, it was something stupid, like 100 million worth of damages across the year from both getting their sites back online and also the loss of sales. So the numbers start getting astronomical really fast. Politics. Last year, there was two Iranian steel production facilities that were targeted by an activist group. I have some footage of that later, but they actually targeted the controls for the crucibles inside the steel factory, which caused significant damages and thankfully no loss of life, but it was very much a deliberate thing. It could have been a lot worse. It was intended to as a form of activism. against the Iranian government and some of the usage of the steel production that was occurring there. And finally, bragging rights. You've probably all seen, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen different hacking groups appear online. They've posted, you know, they've taken down X, Y, and Z website or defaced a company for bragging rights. It's the same in the industrial sector, except it has a little bit more sort of consequence. So why should you care? The video has gone, which is a little bit annoying. Didn't test this, but I'll see if I can get it at the end. When things go wrong, they can go really wrong. The two examples that have appeared here, the Ukrainian power grid, when the conflict started last year, the first target that Russia hit was actually a cybersecurity attack on the Ukrainian power system just a little before a full invasion. It absolutely crippled the country in terms of what they could actually organize, both from a military perspective, but also from civilian perspective. They took out large portions of the electrical network. It also meant that humanitarian efforts were struggling because they couldn't communicate with the people inside. It was in Ukraine. It was during a war, but this is something that could easily happen to another country. The British government have said that it's one of the things that they were most concerned about with regards to the Russian conflict, is that if we were to help, this would be a target in the Russian eyes as well. The top photo there is from Costa Rica. Was it Costa Rica? Yes. Last year, they were subject to a two-stage attack. Firstly, taking down a lot of their financial sector, and then secondly, a lot of their national power, and also some of the gas systems were also affected. Again, it's one of those things that now you're starting to affect everyday people from a single target. It can have widespread ramifications. Other attacks that have previously happened, you've got things such as targeted healthcare attacks. We've had WannaCry hit the UK before. You start looking at loss of life as a factor rather than just monetary damages. So when it comes to industrial cybersecurity attacks, is a much more sort of, I'm trying to think how to explain what I'm trying to say now. There's a lot more that can be happening rather than just purely an issue of targeting the company. You're now looking at significant damages to people's way of living. Oh, there it is. Is it going to work? No. Cool. We'll try and come back to that later. Also, it is not Angry Birds. Sadly, some hacking group took the logo for that one. So what can we do about it? We can always bring in regulations, make sure that these companies are actually keeping up with common security practices. The biggest issue that comes from them is that a lot of the technologies that they have are incredibly outdated. We're talking about devices that have no form of authentication, no form of encryption. They are completely open and easy to break. I actually saw a demonstration downstairs this morning in one of the areas. They've got some PLC set up. They can show you just how easy they are to break. Various government bodies have started coming in with regulations to try and bring the companies up to speed in terms of that. Reasonable security measures kind of filters back in that it's all very much intermingled with one another. Things like actually keeping your systems up to date and having reasonable access control across your entire network. And finally, accepting responsibility. Companies are very quick to brush this under as a financial cost, but then suddenly when they're hit with a cyber attack, they're very quick to point fingers at other people or complain about it. A lot of these companies need to recognize that they are responsible. And this goes from the top of the company to your chief security officers, right the way down to, to your floor workers, who need to realize that picking up a USB off the ground and plugging it in is probably not the best idea. So regulations, a couple of years ago, the European Union came out with the NIS directive, big set of documents that details how critical national infrastructure should be protecting themselves. Each European country was going to implement that in their own regards, and there's been quite a variance in terms of how they've implemented it. In the UK, we have the Cyber Assessment Framework, or the CAF. This is a it's a fairly straightforward set of documents on how you can see whether you're fulfilling it, or partially completing it, or completely failing it. This currently covers critical national infrastructure as utilities. Oh no, I'm really testing my knowledge on this one. I may have to point. I can see Jules ready to jump on this one, so I may have to point them on that. It's public utilities. I believe certain transport is covered under it. Healthcare is covered under it, and as of the next couple of next year, or was it just come in? I believe food and beverage has now been covered in it as well. However, they are expanding this further to now be anyone that interacts with those companies as well, because they realize that it's brilliant, you know, talking to the, say, 60 energy companies and making sure they're protected. But if they're working with another 10,000 companies and they're all insecure, suddenly there's now a much bigger attack surface than they realized. The biggest issue with the CAF at the moment is that it is, while it's straightforward, it's not so easy to just hand to a technician and then have them come through and go, oh yes, we're compliant with this. It does have a lot of issues, the biggest being that people aren't aware of where they're at in their companies right now. So you've got these energy companies who maybe have 100, 200, 300 plants and sites that they're working with. You're talking about devices that are maybe the size of my iPad, and half of them are embedded in a floor somewhere that they're not going to realize. It very quickly scales to an issue that they can't quite handle. So we're very much the industry's playing catch up at this point. Across the globe, there's a couple of other industry standards. So we've got the OG86, which is specifically looking at electrical. Oh, I cannot remember the. There's so many of these little acronyms. It mainly covers as a health and safety document. However, it has some applications to cybersecurity. So certain groups, mainly utilities, I believe, are covered under this, although it is trying to become a bit more of a wide-ranging standard. And finally, you've got IEC 62443, lovely, catchy name. Again, it is a cybersecurity, it's a cybersecurity standard that's supposed to be global. It's not purely for OT cyber, it's very much a generalized thing, although there are certain segments of it that are specifically aiming to focus on industrial cybersecurity. So, like I said earlier, companies need to take responsibility and reasonable measures need to be put in place. They need to be accepted from everybody, right from the top to right down the bottom. Managers need to be sure that where these compliance, it's all well and good the government building these frameworks and these directives to come in for compliance, but if the companies are not actually following them or working to actually become compliant, then the biggest issue we're facing is that all that work's been put in for nothing. So managers have to take responsibility for actually getting these compliance, and we've seen a general uptick in the last couple of years of people really doubling down on it. The UK also starting to enforce it a bit stronger. And it is definitely coming to the point where companies are now becoming partially compliant rather than full on failing. But there's more work to be done there. Engineers need to start designing future plants with security in mind. Like I said, a lot of these devices are very old. Most PLCs have no form of authentication. If someone's on a network, you can very much just send one command and they will turn off. There's no checking of any sorts. So if they're designed with security in mind, segregating networks, making sure that devices that don't necessarily need to be connected to one another aren't, making sure that we have systems in place to monitor the traffic that's going across these networks, because while this may seem in an IT setting, this is very basic stuff, you know, making sure we've got firewalls and making sure we've got someone actually monitoring the networks. This doesn't exist in OT spaces. From a personal thing, I've seen examples of major distribution networks for various parcels and so on have similar sort of setups, and they've had just an open network switch sat on a box in the corner of the office that's connected to several of the sensors on the shop floor that's actually sorting out monitoring the parcel sorting. Anyone who could come along with just an Ethernet cable, straight away you've got access to their entire system, and they've got laptops that are just connected on Windows 7. You can see very easily the sort of the pattern that you can get here. And finally, for floor workers, effective training. Like I said, a lot of these shop floor workers have little to no security training. You've got people who have been working at these plants for many years, have just always done things a certain way, but couldn't tell you how the system's actually built, where these things are, and what other than what to do if something goes wrong from a very generic standpoint. Effective training on security measures there are actually part of certain standards. I know it's part of the CAF, is that people have to have reasonable training, there has to be reasonable access control. But yeah, that's definitely something that is currently quite lacking in the area. And yeah, I think I'm a bit early, but I'd like to say thank you for that, and I'm happy to open up and have a little bit more of a general discussion through. But yeah, thank you very much. Are there any questions? No? Great. I'm always happy for that one.
You're too good. You already answered them all. So are we able to see the video?
Yes, I will. If you give me a moment, I will try and get that running.
Do you think the awareness isn't the issue, but the financial cost of what to do about security stuff? We talk about systems like PLC boards. We talk about modern cities. Even now, we build a new office block that's built in a very generic way. BMS systems are open protocol. So knowing what to do is one thing, which the financial implications of a building that's put up 15 years will make a change. Is that the main problem?
Definitely. A lot of companies are not willing to invest in bringing their cybersecurity standards up to a good point. And yeah, a lot of the time it is based on a financial perspective. But again, I feel like to some degree you've got to look at it. It's all well and good saying, okay, yes, this is going to cost us, I'm making up numbers, I'll say 15 million to go across the board and start securing ourselves to become compliant. KP Snacks probably thought something along the same lines, and then now they're hit with 100 million worth of loss in the last year. I feel like at some point the companies need to sort of have a little bit of a realization and think, okay, well, if you're investing in it now. And the thing is that security isn't a singular payment. You're not going to spend, oh, I can spend, 10 million now and my security will be good. It's something that's got to constantly be monitored. It's something that's constantly got to be upkept. So I think that while the cost is the biggest thing, it's the fact that people are, a lot of people are viewing it as a single one-time cost, when in reality, it should be something that is factored into a budget specifically to keep going and avoiding issues like this.
In your line of work, do you find it's hard to make people see the value of the investment?
Yes, I think that that's something that we've definitely had issues with in the past, is having talked to quite numerous different companies across a lot of different sectors, is that people are, they want to be cyber secure, but they're concerned about the cost of it as well, because there's so much to cover, because they haven't ever invested in it previously. And I think one of the biggest things that companies can do now is, if they have a lot of legacy equipment that needs to be made secure, but where they're investing in future stuff is that invest with security in mind.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Go ahead.
So thank you. That was really useful. With regards to the CAF and the regulatory framework, it's quite passive.
Yes.
Do you think there's a a need or a requirement, because you know the keyword in CNI is critical, for the state to be more involved in actively protecting CNI?
Yes, I do. I think, unfortunately, in this regards, I can probably pass over to Jules at some point, who's had more experience talking with government in this regards. I should point out everyone.
Yeah, of course, don't find me. But generally, MCSE are quite active in terms of handling any actual threats that they find in progress. Yeah. So they do a lot of handholding. I think as kind of Jenny outlined with the CAF, it's been very much a dangle the carrot first approach and try and get people on board to improve things, and they're moving towards a little bit more of, you know, thinking about the costs and how they can enforce it a little bit harder going forwards. But happy to have a chat.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to sort of jump on what Jules was saying there is that, yeah, I think that, as you described it, sort of dangling the carrot, I think that if this tactic doesn't work so well, I think it should be up to, whether that be the EU or individual states, to sort of bring the stick, as it were, in similar ways to GDPR. People didn't want to implement it, and then they threatened to take, 4% of global turnover. That very quickly made sure that a lot of companies became GDPR compliant. And I think that a similar approach would probably be in the best interest from a security perspective, though I wonder how effective that would actually be, purely because of the quantity of sort of technologies you're working with and the amount of companies that are already struggling to bring up to speed in terms of that. But yeah.